All right, Rabotai, it's Erev Shabbat Kodesh, Parashat Shemini. We are learning the Haftarah of Parashat Shemini. And the Haftarah brings us to the book of Shmuel Bet, Perek Vav. As I said in the last Shi'ur, that it always is incumbent upon us to try to find the connection between what we read in the Parashah and the theme in the Haftarah. That's exactly why the rabbis chose the certain Haftarah, trying to match a common theme. In those days, they weren't able to read the Parashat HaShavua because of the Gezerot. So they found a Haftarah that had a common theme, and that would remind you of what the Parashah was talking about. I think the commonality between our Haftarah and the Parashah will be obvious as we go through it. We just need a little introduction. This is actually a sequel of a story that began earlier in the book of Shmuel. It was with the prophet Eli. The Jewish people went out to war against Pelishtim, arch enemy, and they decided to bring with them the Aron. And at that war, besides the Pelishtim winning the war, they also took the Aron in captivity, which was the first time that ever happened. The Aron went out to war, and it was taken into captivity by the Pelishtim. The Aron Kodesh, of course, has in it the Luchot, the tablets, and it has the cherubs, which we call them the Kiruvim, which is the resting place of the Shekhinah. As a result, God brought a lot of plague upon the Pelishtim, and they realized that it was as a result of the Aron, so therefore they delivered it to Yisrael. They actually delivered it to the people of Beit Shemesh. The people of Beit Shemesh did not treat the Aron with the proper respect, and as a result, there was a plague that hit Anshe Beit Shemesh. They then moved the Aron to a place called Kiryat Ya'arim. And the people of Kiryat Ya'arim brought the Aron to the home of Abinadav, which is in the place called Giv'ah. And it is there that the Aron remained for 20 years. Our Perek picks up where David HaMelech, alav shalom, is going to send a great entourage. The Navi is going to tell us 30,000 people. And they're going to go to Beit Ya'arim, to Giv'ah, to the house of Abinadab, in order to take the Aron with the intent to bring it back to the city of David. We'll see that on the way something tragic happens, which there lies the commonality between Al Parashah. There was a tragic incident that happened with the sons of Aharon, that they died suddenly, also when they were serving. And then as a result, there's a change in the plan. And then we pick it up what happens later on, a few months later, where the plan is adjusted, and then David finally is able to bring the Aron to its resting place. So we pick up the Navi. Again, we're reading Perek Vav. It's a short Haftarah for Sephardim. We actually only read, if I'm correct, we're only going to read 19 Pesukim. Ashkenazim actually read the whole Perek and some. They actually read to the end of Perek Vav, plus, you know, the first 17 Pesukim in Perek Zayin. But Sfaradim only read until the first 17 Pesukim, and that's what we're going to read here today. We're going to use primarily today the Pirush of the Malbim, and of course, one of the great Mefarshim, the great Rishon, a descendant of David HaMelech, Don Isaac Abarbanel, in his Pirush on Tanakh. So the Pasuk begins, Vayosef od David et kol bahur beYisrael Sheloshim Aleph. So Vayosef over here means that he gathered, Melashon le'esof, and he gathered Bahur beYisrael, 30,000 Bahur. So we have a machloket amongst the Mefarshim. Malbim explains Bahur, Hem hayu hanifharim. the ones that were chosen. So that's the way he learns, that they were the chosen ones. Whereas Abarbanel learns Bahurim, that these were the young ones. He says, why did he choose the Bahurim? There's no war over here, that you need young ones, not like they're fighting a war. So he said, well, he thought that maybe the Pilishtim on the way back bringing the Aron, they're going to make a counterattack, and they're going to come and try to steal the Aron again. So he brought young ones in order to defend the Aron from a potential attack. And then he says that the intention also was to dance in front of the Aron, like we're going to see. And he writes that Shezeye ot yoter lebahurim, you know, dancing with great energy is more suitable and fit for bahurim. Nonetheless, there's 30,000 of them, the pasuk says, which is a big entourage to go pick up the Aron. Vayakom vayelech David vechol ha'am asher ito mebaalei Yehuda leha'alot misham et Aron ha'Elohim. The intention was to go to Baalei Yehuda, that's Kiryat Ya'arim, and the goal was to take the Aron from there, asher nikra shem, that had a name for itself. The Aron had a name for itself, asher nikra shem, Shem Adonai Sevaot Yosheva Keruvim Alav. And the name of that Aron was the name, the Aron that has the glory of God that rests upon its cherubs. Now here we have a Pirush of Abarbanel. It says the word Shem twice. Hashem Nikra Shem, Shem Hashem Sevaot. Why does it repeat it twice? And the Malbim says because it had a reputation not only by the Jewish people, but it had a reputation for being a miraculous piece of Kiddusha, even by the Pilishtim. I quote you his words, V'laze amar bet pa'amim shem shem, shem Hashem betoch Pilishtim, v'shem Hashem bekerev Yisrael. The name of God was exalted while it was by the Pilishtim, and clearly it's exalted when it was by the Jewish people. The Malbim points out on this pasuk, and he says that when they got to Kiryat Ya'arim, the pasuk says Vayelech David v'chol ha'am, which means they went with 30,000 people initially, but when they got to Kiryat Ya'arim, kol ha'am, all the people of Kiryat Ya'arim came out and entouraged in order to escort the Aron. So it was much more people at this point. The pasuk continues, Vayirkevu et Aron ha'Elohim el agala hadasha. So they transport the Aron to an agala hadasha, to a new wagon, a wagon that was never used before. Vayisa'uhu mibet Avinadav asher begiv'ah. They transport it from the house of Avinadav that's in Giv'ah, that's Kiryat Ya'arim. Ve'uza ve'achyo, these are the two children, Bnei Avinadav, Uza and Achyo, Nohagim et ha'agala hadasha, they're actually leading the wagon. One more pasuk, Vayisa'uhu mebet Avinadav asher begiv'ah, and they carried the Aron, to put it on the agala, to put it on the wagon, from the house of Avinadav asher begiv'ah, Im Aron Elohim, with the Aron Elohim, Ve'achyo lech lefne Aharon, and Achyo was walking in front of the Aron. So the Malbim right away points out a lot of mistakes that took place over here. The mistakes are numerous. Let's read them now. He writes, I'm quoting the Malbim, Vehem shagu baze. They made a mistake. Number one, Siper sheshesh hen asaneh Hashem. They made six mistakes. Ma shepagmu b'kedushat ta'aron. What they were pogem in the kedusha of the Aron over here. What was it? Number one, shirkibu oto al agala hadasha. Number one, you don't put the Aron on a wagon. We know that the Torah says, Bakatefisa'u, the Levim are supposed to carry the Aron on their shoulders. So therefore, clearly that's a mistake. Number two, it says Uzzah and Ahyo, they were leading the Agala. Now, they should have learned from the Pilishtim, because when we learned that story, we learned that the Pilishtim put it on an Agala, which they don't know the laws. They're not obligated to know the laws of the Pilishtim. That's their mistake. We don't have to follow their mistake. But furthermore, they at least trusted that the animals will know how to get to their destination without leading it. You don't need to lead the Aron. The Aron could lead itself. So Ahyo and Uzzah, they felt that the Aron needed to be leaded. So he writes, Malbim Shuzzah ba'Ahyo nasu min The cows went themselves in the times of the Pilishtim. Why did they have to lead it? That's a mistake. Number three, they carried it on their shoulders from the house of Abinadab to put it on the wagon. The problem was they were not Leviim. They were Zarim. So therefore they had no right to carry the Aron. Number four, it says that they carried Im Aron HaElohim. They carried it directly. Halakha says that they're not allowed to carry it directly. They carried it with poles. Those were the Badin. So besides the fact they weren't allowed to carry it at all, they carried it wrong. You don't put your hands on the Aron Bichlal. You only carry it with the Badin. So the Malbim's Lashon, Shelon Nas'u B'motot. They didn't carry it with the Motot, Kedino. Rak Nas'u Im Ha'aron Atzmo, meaning Im Ha'aron, they carried it directly. Number five, the Ahyo Holech Lifnei Ha'aron, and Ahyo stood in front of the Aron. What's the mistake in that? His back is Tara Aron. Back is Tara Aron, it's not Derech Eretz. V'achorav El Ha'aron, v'ze b'zayon v'katzef. He says, v'sare Pilishtim nishmeru mize. Even the Pilishtim, when they had the Aron, they wouldn't dare walk in front of it. They walked behind it. And this was a gross mistake. And now we get to the sixth blunder, and we read the Pasuk. And the Pasuk says, and the Pasuk here this is, V'David v'chol bet Yisrael, and David and kol bet Yisrael, all those that were escorting it, Misahakim lefnei Hashem. Misahakim is they were rejoicing, they were happy, there was music. V'chol with all different types of instruments, atzim birushim, kinorot, nevalim, tupim, o bin namnaim. These are all different types of musical instruments that cause the person to dance. O betzilzilim, those are like the cymbals. It was making a lot of noise. So what's the problem with that? So the Mabim says the issue over here is, and this is number six, shayum misahakim. That word misahakim, the difference between simha, which is something that's more serious, evduat Hashem b'simha, this was misahakim, which is more lightheadedness, which is not ra'ui to have that level of lightheadedness. Derech schok ve'lo kismechim b'rada. And number two, that the songs that are supposed to be played in front of the Aron are also supposed to be specifically played by the Leviim. The Leviim are the Meshoririm, and they're the Menagenim. And over here it was being played by the regular folk. And therefore, that was because it says, it's called Beit Yisrael. All the people were involved in playing the music. So therefore, that was a mistake in itself. So could you imagine, B'nai said, it could be that we have to say that, you know, Ahavam Mekalkel Tashura, from the excitement of, you know, getting the Aron and bringing it back. So it led them to these mistakes. And now the Navi tells us in Pasuk Vav, Vayavo u ad Goren Nachon. So they get to the place of Goren Nachon. Vayishlach uza el Aron Elohim vayochezbo ki shabetu abakar. The animals that were leading the Aron on the wagon, they started to shake a little. The wagon started to tilt. And the Aron was about to fall off. So Uzzah stretched his hands out in order to save the Aron from falling. You might think that was a noble thing that he did. You know, to save the Aron from like somebody lunging towards the Sefer Torah, trying to catch it. You know, if somebody's going to, God forbid, drop it. Well, Vayihar af Hashem be'uza. God got angry at Uza. Vayakehu shama Elohim al hashal. Shal means the mistake that he made, that he forgot. What did he forget? He forgot a simple halakha that says that the Aron, when the Leviim used to carry it, the Aron used to carry the Leviim. If you looked at the feet of the Leviim, they were above the ground. So the Gemara says, Ha'aron nose et nosav et atzmo lo kol sheken. If the Aron is able to carry those that carry it, can it not carry itself? And therefore, Uzzah should have known that the Aron will not fall to the floor. The Aron is able to suspend and carry itself. Well, it says that God punished him ala shal. Ala shal means on the mistake that he forgot that the Aron could carry itself. And it says, immediately, Vayamocham im Arona Elohim. He dies right there with Arona Elohim. And the Malbim makes some points over here. And he says that the reason why God punished him, al sheshal v'shachach kedushat ha'aron, he forgot the value of the kedusha of the aron. Upachad Hashem be'odo im aron ha'elohim, and he didn't behave properly when he was in front of the aron ha'elohim. V'ze het gadol, it's a big sin. Min neso, to even carry. Gadol min neso, hashokheyach yirat ha'melech be'odo omed lefanav. When a person is in front of the king, and you forget, and you don't act properly. Now, we have found at this point the clear connection between the Haftarah and the Parasha. After all, in this week's Parasha, we read about the untimely death of Nadav Avihu. And also, they were serving in the Mishkan, Vayi Bayom HaShemini, and suddenly, a fire came out and consumed the Neshamot of Nadav Avihu. And here you have a similar story, where you have a mistake that was made. We also believe Nadav Avihu didn't do anything intentionally. Maybe it was motivated with holy intentions, but nonetheless they died. So therefore the connection is between the death of Nadav Avihu and the death of Uzzah, both having to do with the service with the vessels of the Aron or the Mishkan. I will make another connection, though this is a timely connection, that again, this is another Shabbat that we find ourselves away from the Beit HaKnesset, exiled from the Beit HaKnesset, unable to attend the Beit HaKnesset b'minyan, and it could be that the Haftarah is giving us a reminder of, look at even somebody that was well-intended. His intention was in order to catch the Aron, but that was considered a lack of fear in front of the Aron. He should have known better. After that, the wrath of God came down. And the Malbim's Lashon is very, very worthwhile to repeat again, where he says that Bezeh Het Gadol, it's considered a great sin. Gadol min Neso, it's too heavy to burden. Now, I say these words because Shulchan Aruch uses these exact words when he talks about somebody that talks during the Hazarah. When somebody talks during the repetition of the Amidah, Maran's Lashon is Gadol Avono min Neso, which is the same language that he uses over here. And what did God do to Uzzah? Because he didn't treat the Aron with the proper respect. We didn't have the fear of God that was worthy to him. So it says, V'zeh het gadol min neso shokheh yirat ha'melech b'odom min lefanav. And that could be, again, a reminder of the decorum that's demanded for us in the Beit HaKnesset, which we've been talking about, that when you're in front of the palace of the king, yirat ha'melech, and you forget that there's yirat ha'melech there, so there's consequence. So I think there's a timely connection between current events and our parasha. In any event, when David saw this, the pasuk says that pasuk het vayihar le David al asher paratz Hashem peretz be'uza. David became angered for this breach, this death that happened to Uza. Vayikra la makom ahu Peretz Uzzah. He called the place the the place where the tragedy happened to Uzzah, you know, tragic Uzzah, Adayom Azeh. Now, Malbim makes a very important point. Who was David angry at? Was he angry at the Midat Hadin? Chas v'shalom, you're not angry at God. And the Malbim says, Vayicha le David, Mizeh vin David, he understood that he was responsible. Veharar lo al atzmo. He was angry at himself for not being careful. He says, that's the difference between Vayichar af. If it says Vayichar af, that means you're angry at somebody else. But it doesn't say Vayichar af over here. It says Vayichar. Vayichar, the anger was inside to David himself. Like it says, he brings an ayat de Mabim, like when Cain, his korban wasn't accepted, it says, Vayichar le Cain. Cain was upset at himself, Vayipidu panav. The Midrash says that David's face actually turned black from the tsar that he had. And now what happens? So the Pasuk says, Vayira David et Hashem bayomahu. Now, it says that day, David had fear of God. Vayomer, and he says, Ech yavo elai aron Hashem. How can I bring the aron to me? Now, what does it mean that day he had Yirat Hashem? You have to assume that David had Yirat Hashem every day of his life. So the Malbim points out that David, every day of his life, served God on Ahavat Hashem, which is a higher level. And all of a sudden, on that day, he lowered his level to what's called Yirat HaOnesh, which is not the highest level. David said, now that I'm on the level of Yirat HaOnesh, fear of punishment, I'm not worthy to be the host of the Aron, and therefore we have to send it somewhere else until he reaches the level that's worthy. He didn't want to get punished by the Aron as well. So the Pasuk says, Velo avad David lehasir elav et Aron Hashem al Ir David. He didn't want to bring the Aron to Ir David. He was worried that the Pur'anut will come onto him. Vayatehu David, so he diverted it to where? To a different place. To the house of Bet Oved Edom Hagiti. So Oved Edom from the city of Gat. He was a Levi, so that's the right place to send it. And he's going to have now the Aron in his possession. Now, the Midrash writes that Oved Edom is going to receive a great blessing by hosting the Aron. The reason for the blessing is twofold. Number one, because the one that honors the Aron with the proper respect deserves to get the beracha of the Aron. So therefore, the Navi will tell us that Oved will become very prosperous. However, the beracha on Oved was even more than that. It said he had six daughters-in-law and his own wife, and they all ended up getting pregnant as a result of the Aron being in their possession, and each one gave birth to six children at a time. That's six tuplets. So there was a tremendous beracha in his own children and in his daughters-in-law that he had. The reason for that excessive blessing was for the purpose not of Oved, that he received his beracha and prosperity, but it was on the purpose on the account of the Aron. Because the Aron was getting a bad reputation. People started to say, look at this Aron. The Aron is dangerous. Whoever comes in contact with the Aron, it kills people. Look what it did to the Pidishtim. Look what it did to the people of Bet Shemesh. Look what it did to Uzzah. So they were saying the Aron is dangerous. And that's not the case. The Aron is not dangerous at all. It's only if you don't respect it. So therefore, for the good namesake of the Aron, God blessed the family of Edom, Oved Edom, so everybody could see that actually the Aron does bring beracha. The Malbim points this out beautifully from one word. This is what makes the Malbim so beautiful, these words that he points out. If you look at the Pasuk says, and I quote, Yud Aleph, Vayeshev Aron Adonai bet Oved Edom Agiti, Shelosha Chodashim, Vaybarech Hashem, Et Oved Edom ve'et kol beto. It's fine. And Hashem blessed Oved Edom. That's first he blessed him, meaning for prosperity. Ve'et kol beto, be'kol beto, meaning his household. It's like what I told you, what the Gemara says in Berachot, that they all had multiple births. Ve'yugad la melech David demo. So it was told to David, Berach Hashem et bet Oved Edom. God has blessed the house of Oved Edom, ve'et kol asher lo, and everything that he has, meaning his children. Ba'avur Arona Elohim. The word ba'avur. He says, when the word ba'avur is used as opposed to the word biglal, he says, biglal usually goes on what's before it. Like it says by Lavan. Lavan says, Vaybarecheni Adonai biglalecha. God blessed me on your account. So the biglalecha is explaining what was written before. However, when you use the word ba'avur, ba'avur is used for the what's talking after the word ba'avur. So over here it's saying, why did God bless the family of Edom, or Oved Edom, ba'avud, not because he respected it. Ba'avud Arona Elohim, for the purpose of the Arona Elohim, to give the Arona Elohim a good reputation. Because the Arona Elohim is getting a bad rap, but the people that were saying it's deadly. So they were ba'avud what? Ba'avud Arona Elohim, not biglad. Biglad would have been referring to before what's written. So therefore, ba'avud Arona Elohim. Therefore, David realized that at this time, Borei Olam is happy. This is the moment to bring the Aron forward, to bring it to Ir David. So what happens? So the Pasuk writes, Vayahal et Aron Elohim bebet Oved Edom, Ir David besimha. Now pay attention. The Abarbanel says over here, look at the difference. He made the tikkun. First of all, it says they brought it besimha. Before it says mesahakim. Mesahakim was they were lightheaded. That's it. No more lightheadedness. They realized that avon. The pasuk says besimha. Here also you see no more wagons. They realized that mistake also. Now they're going to actually carry the aron like it's supposed to be carried. And the pasuk says, Vahiki sa'adun nos'e aron Hashem. Who's the nos'e? Who's the carriers of the aron? The Levi'im. Ah, they got Levi'im the old-fashioned way. And it says, every six steps they took, Vahi ki sa'adun nos'e aron Hashem, shisha sa'adim, that they just took six steps, Vayizbihu shor umri. They brought two korbanot. The Abarbanel says, what's this inyan, the Abarbanel, or is it the, I think it's the Abarbanel. What is this inyan over here that they're bringing a korban every six steps? What's the symbolism in it? So he says, Rotze lomar, ki kaasher ayut so'adim alvim shisha so'adim aya David zobeach la'ashem shehetzilam velo nechshelu kaasher nechshal Uzzah. They were happy they didn't fall into the same trap that Uzzah fell into. Imagine that. They took six steps. They said, Baruch Hashem, nothing happened to us. They remembered what happened immediately when they left Bet Abinadav. Uzzah died tragically. Now they took six steps. They said, Baruch Hashem, everybody's safe. We didn't make the same mistake again. Korban. The Malbim says, based on the Gemara, that how many korbanot that they were bringing, it says that every six steps they brought two, and then every set of six steps, meaning six times six, then they brought seven korbanot at that moment. And he says, of course, it's seven times six, and seven times six is 42, and that's keneged the Shem Membet, which is the Shem of Anna Bechor, the holy name. So David was Mechaben. Obviously, deep kavanot over in how many korbanot that they were bringing over here. It seems that's a magic number when you bring korbanot. We go back to the story of Bil'am when he was bringing the korbanot also. If you look at it, he also brought 42 korbanot. So kanere, there's a certain inyan in korbanot to connect to the Shem Membet. The Malbim goes into that a drop. But for our purposes, the pasuk then says, the pasuk says, "V'David mecharker bechol oz lefnei Hashem, v'David hagur efod bad." So, number one, it says David HaMelech was dancing with all his might in front of the Aron. That shows you the humility of David HaMelech Alav HaShalom, that he himself was dancing in front of the Aron, and he was Hagur Efod Bad. He was wearing special clothes. He was not wearing the clothes of Malchut. There's no Malchut in front of the Aron. He wore like the clothes of the Kohen. Rabbi Moshe David Wali says these were white garments. And he writes, why did he put on the white garments? To arouse the chesed of Hashem, shigavano lavan, because it's a white garment. Kegavan efod bad. This was the garments that the Kohen Gadol would wear, Begdei Lavan, when he would go into the Kodesh Kodashim. Kanereh, it seems that the white pushes away the judgments, it arouses chesed, and therefore he didn't want Chas V'Shalom, the Ketrug that happened the last time, so therefore he put on these clothes like the Kohen. And the Pasuk says, V'David, V'chol Bet Yisrael, Ma'alim et Aron Hashem b'Teruah u'Kol Shofar. They were also blowing Teruah and Kol Shofar. The Rabbi Moshe David Wali, in his Pirush, says, Hine kevar yadua, he says it's known that the Teruah's purpose is l'shaber et koach ha-kilipa. That when they blow the Teruah especially, it's in order to push away the kilipot, in order that the tefillah should be accepted and not intercepted by the Chas V'Shalom Kelipot. Kanereh David was concerned that his korbanot be accepted, his ratzon be accepted, so therefore they blew b'truah b'kol shofar. Now here, in the next pasuk, we see two prophets that had the same prophecy. Two of the mefarshim. I find this amazing. I'm very, very, very incisive, actually. So the pasuk says, V'haya Aron Hashem ba'ir David, so that it's coming now to Ir David with happiness and simcha. Umichal bat Shaul. That's Michal, the daughter of Shaul, the wife of David. Nishkefa ba'ad halon. So she's looking out the window. Vatere et melech David. She sees David as a melech. And she saw him dancing and she felt that that's a zilzul, that's a beneath the dignity of a king to be dancing like that in front of all the people, especially mefazero, mekarkiro, all sorts of, you know, dancing moves. Lefnei Hashem, vatibez lo biliba. And she had she disparaged this behavior. She felt that this is a common act, common behavior not worthy for a king. We're not going to read about that part of the story. The Navi just tells us now her reaction. She felt this beneath the dignity. Rabotai, listen to the words of Rabbi Moshe David Wali. The frightening words, he says. He says, Ve'ine kevar yadua, he says, it's well known, Shehabanim yesh lahem harbem mimidot ha'av, that the children, they take a lot of the midot, the behaviors of their parents. V'Shaul haya choshesh al kevodo yoter midai. Shaul also was always worried about his kavod, even when after he made that mistake where he left Agag alive and he left the animals of Amalek alive. What does he tell Shemuel? V'ata kabedeni na. Come walk with me and give me kavod in front of the people. So he says, what do you think? Velachen gam michal bito hayta la zot hamida. She also had this midah of kavod, that she felt things as not proper, it's not respectful enough. Although, clearly this is respect for the Shekhinah, this is respect in front of Hashem. But you see that she carried that midah of a far. It's a strong statement that the Mimo Shed Abibah, but to my... Right, to my amazement, you saw the Malbim? Unbelievable, yes. Yeah, the Malbim says the same thing. It's incredible. The Malbim writes, is Lashon, and he says, like this, Mesaper, the Navi tells us, Ki Michal bat Shaul, she was raised in her father's house. And that house, kavod, was an important thing to them. Even more than the kavod of the Shekhinah. So therefore, she didn't feel that sensitivity of what was going on. You see, over Rabotai, with a lesson in Hinuch Yeladim, that's something that wasn't even spoken in the house of Shul, but those attitudes that they gave themselves more kavod than they would give the kavod, let's say, to the Shekhinah to a certain degree. We know we're talking about great people over here, but nonetheless, that midah trickled down to Michal, and as a result, we're going to see in another episode of this Navi that she would be punished gravely for this mistake of criticizing David for dancing. So you see how careful parents have to be with their midot. You know, their bad midot could become the tragedy of the children because they pick up on this mispriority of the wrong kavod. Again, you see two rabbis that said practically the same thing. Any event, the Navi continues and says, and we finish it up. They finally bring the Aron and Perek, Pasuk Yud Zayin it is, Vayavo'u, or Vayavi'u, Et Aron Hashem, they bring the Aron Hashem, Vayatzigu Otobim Komon, they put it in its place, Betocha Ohel Asher Natalo, they put it in an ohel, in a tent, in a temporary place, in that David HaMelech constructed, Asher Natalo David, Vaya'al David Olot Lefne Hashem Ushlamim. At this point, David himself brings korbanot. Till now, the people were bringing korbanot. Now, David HaMelech himself wanted to be part of the mitzvah, bringing korbanot. So he himself brought a korban olan shelamim. Again, this is a korban todah, in order to give God gratitude that they were able to get the Aron back from the Pelishtim and bring it back to its resting place. Vaychal David malot ha'olav ha'shelamim. After he finished bringing the korbanot, vaybarech et ha'am b'shem Hashem Sevaot, he blesses the people in the name of the Aron, and because there was such a simcha shel mitzvah there at the time, lechol amon yisrael, he blessed all the people that were gathered, the meish va'adisha, men and women, leish, and to every man he gave halat lechem ahad, a loaf of bread, the ishpar ehad, and he also gave them a ishpar, is a piece of meat, va'ashisha ehad, that's like a jug of wine. So everybody left that with a whole seudah. They had some wine, they had a loaf of bread, which again probably is a remez also to this parasha usually being read, the parasha after Pesach. And now the Torah is telling us that halat lechem ahad, we're going to now have the hametz again. And it says over here, vayelech kol ha'am ish lebeto, and everybody was able to go back to their homes. Vayelech kol ha'am ish lebeto, everybody went home. And the pasuk says, the Malbim concludes his perush on the Haftarah, and he says, "Vaya'al David mitoch simcha shel mitzvah." He had such a simcha of the mitzvah. Hitorer la'avod la'avoda be'atzmo. He wanted to serve, like we said, himself, to bring the korbanot himself. And as a result of bringing the korban, it brought a tremendous shefa down to himself. And therefore, he knew the shefa was with him. So therefore, it says he blessed them a double blessing. In berachan nafshit b'shem Hashem sevaot v'im sheva gashmit. If you look at the pasuk, the pasuk says, after he brought the vaybarech et ha'am b'shem Hashem Sevaot, first he gave them a spiritual blessing. That's the beracha b'shem Hashem Sevaot, and then he gave them physical blessing as well. You see, the tzaddikim, they didn't only worry about the ruchniyut of Klal Yisrael. After he gave them the beracha for the ruchniyut, he said, "Okay, now we're going to give each person a care package to take home," and that's ki halak lechol ha'am. Whoever was there that came with the people, those were the people that walked with the Aron. And not only that, but even it says, Lechol Hamon Yisrael. Whoever was there, not only the people that escorted, anybody that showed up there to see the action also got something. That he says, Shenimsu Shem B'mikre. Even those people that were there just by happenstance, they just showed up for the event, not necessarily escorting the Aron, they also got Beracha, Me'ish V'Adisha. And you see over here the greatness of David. This is where the Sefaradim and the Haftarah. And again, we see the connection between our Sefer Torah and the Haftarah, the death of Nadav Avihu and the death of Uzzah. It reminds us, Rabotai, how careful we have to be for Kavod Beit HaKnesset, Kavod Aron. These things remind us that we cannot forget the Yir'ah, the fear of God, when we are in His palace. And Be'ezet Hashem and Zechut, that we're reading these things and we get the Musar, what the Olam will allow us to return to the Beit HaKnesset, and then we'll actually not only have to review the Haftarah, but we're able to actually hear the Sefer Torah in its entirety. Until then, Rabotai, I wish all our members a Shabbat Shalom, and be safe, and Be'ezat Hashem, we'll talk after the Shabbat. Shabbat Shalom, and Mevorach.